Bible says the message of the cross is
foolishness.
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 Foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Guys, what is going on? Welcome to the Foolishness Podcast. What is this, episode 67, potentially? I don't know. We've been quarantined. Life is crazy. I am secured in Christ. Thank you, Lord. But today, I'm excited to jump into something on a more positive note. I know we had Ray Barbie a few episodes ago, who even before this whole George Floyd thing broke out, he'd mentioned facing racism as a teen, as a professional skater. Then I had a good friend of mine, Pastor Gregory Sanders, who is a pastor in the middle of Long Beach, citywide, reaching out. He helped me navigate and understand what it was like for an almost 60-year-old man to see racism in his communities growing up. And for us now today, even just to consider what it means to be white, black, Latino, all the rest, and what does it mean to be in Christ? We're going to jump into that a few episodes coming up. But today, I've got a good friend of mine, someone that I've known for many years now. We make fun of each other all the time. There's a lot of serious ministry that we do. But this is really an amazing godly ministry because so many lives have been transformed. And Jake oversees it. I watched it be birthed. It's a part of our church and community. And so today, Jake Peering, how's it going, brother?
Good job on that pronunciation of the last practice that.
Well, I've heard your name said so many ways. I'm like, and it sounds English to me, Jake Peering. So
dude, I don't even hear your accent when you say it.
Well, I've been practicing it all morning. I literally haven't. I got up and I was like, I know Jake's name, but why don't I ever pronounce it? Because it's just Jake.
Well, so no one ever says my last name. I have a lot of friends where I use their last name as their first name.
Yeah.
But no one does that for me. It's
I get it once in a while, like people who skate or even in the industry, it was more Sumner, which is funny, you know, but and I know because we know each other so well, we can go down rabbit holes and maybe we will. A lot of our listeners are just around the world, whether it's ministry stuff, skaters, just people who got sent this podcast. Thank you all for sharing it. But today the focus is that, I mean, how old are you, Jake?
I just turned 30.
So you just turned 30, and typically by 30, people called into what's known as ministry. If you don't watch the video, you can't see it on YouTube. Yes, I'm doing the clicking fingers there. But by now, you've been a youth pastor, and by now, you're looking at what's next. And that's typically ministry for what we believe. But really, the last, and I mean, I would say last 30 years, but definitely the last 10 years, there's a generation of people who are just thinking completely outside the box, which really isn't outside the box. It's more just like biblical. Mm-hmm. It's more pick up what's in front of you. What does the Lord put on your heart? And the reason I wanted you on is to unpack this journey, but with the hopes that many of the young listeners, and I mean even 40, 50-year-old, I've got a couple in our home church who are heading towards their 60s that are about to go across the world to do missions. I'm hoping they'll hear in you the work of the Holy Spirit and say, well, this is what the Lord's put in our hearts. So guys, today we're going to be unpacking a ministry that Jake is a part of called Common Ground, where why don't you just begin to unpack that for us? Just, I know it's a huge deal, but basically our home church is branches based on John 15. We came out of Rock Harbor Church that was 6 or 7 campuses, a 2-decade-long ministry. And our church is set up where our pastor, Andrew Shea, I'm on the teaching team, so I'll get in there and preach and teach, you know, once a month or every so often when I'm not traveling. But they have 7 to 9 elders at a time, and around 8 to 10 pastors, if I'm not incorrect. And the heart is they also have a missions team of which you and I are part of. I think there's 6, 7, 8 missions teams, and that means people in the community felt called to certain ministries, me as an evangelist, you with this ministry we're about to unpack, and the church says, we believe in this, we believe this is the Lord, we put it before the church, and that began to take root. And I'm guessing it must have been 5 or so years, but I'm saying all that to say, guys, this ministry was birthed through a church, it's been sustained, it's done tremendous things. So Jake, what is Common Ground?
Yeah, no, Common Ground is, it's like a nonprofit after school community specifically geared towards the youth of Oakview. And mm-hmm. those of you who don't know what Oakview is centered right in the middle of Huntington Beach. It's 1 square mile. It's densely packed. It's got around 10,000 people living in that. And it's relatively low, a low income neighborhood. So we're super, you know, blessed to be in that neighborhood. I think yeah. it is one of the most beautiful neighborhoods, something that wow. you just don't see anymore. I mean, the neighborhood is, they've got a library in the center of it. They've got the elementary school. They have little taco trucks. They've got corn, the corn lady on the street. Everyone's outside walking around. I mean, in my neighborhood, you could walk around and you wouldn't see anybody. Everyone's in their yards or
supposed skate park, right?
Yeah, there's a, yeah, it's a, but it's just a beautiful community where you can walk around. You see people all the time. Everyone's outside walking around. It is super neat. Going to the library, going to the school. There's
yeah.
in the middle of it. It's a really beautiful place that, you know, we're super blessed to be in that cool community. So,
and guys, you're hearing this and you're picturing, you know, this little middle of America town community, but to help you understand Huntington Beach, it's a beach town. It's kind of like surfy. And what's amazing is, I mean, I remember when Brian Welch, you know, from the band Korn, he's been in Huntington like his whole life, born and raised, you know, in Bakersfield. But when he came out here, I remember we're driving through town and literally for guys listening in Huntington Beach is Beach Boulevard, which is the main beach that hits Maine, and it goes right to the beach. But as you're driving through Huntington and you're seeing car dealerships and stores and little shops and all the rest, suddenly off Slater Avenue, as Jake said, is a mile by mile area. So picture a mile by mile with 10,000 people living in, and it's heavily Hispanic, right?
Yeah.
Heavily Hispanic community. Everyone's out, everyone's doing stuff. But the crazy thing as well is for the past 30 years, really the police and the mayor, they don't know what to do with it. It's got two full-on gangs that in the past of, I think the first, 4 weeks you were in there, or first week you guys were in there, there was 4 people that were shot at, right?
And this
is a mile by mile with 2 gangs. This is a community that is 5 minutes from the beach. And we're going to jump into this even more. But when Jake and really his partner at the time, Matt, who was helping do this, you guys took about 25 kids down to the beach, right? And almost half of them had never been.
The first, I'll just wrap it up. I'll just start from the beginning. I mean, when we started this a while ago, probably now 10 years ago, Matt and I went to South Africa.
Yep.
We were, oh gosh, what was this, 21, 22 at the time.
And getting to all this, I want to hear it all, the heart of it, how God got a hold of you. And
Yeah, we wanted to go and do something overseas, have an adventure, you know, share about Jesus to kids and wherever. We didn't know what we were doing. We were just like, let's just go somewhere. Let's kind of have an adventure and bring Jesus and share the gospel. We were like, let's just bring a bunch of soccer balls to South Africa. Let's go somewhere. Let's teach some kids how to play soccer or whatever it was. We're looking at orphanages. We're looking at all these different options. And then it was kind of a cool thing. One of our friends was wearing a shirt that he got from a camp. And, you know, he said, oh, there's these people that do a surf camp in Jeffreys Bay, South Africa, and they teach kids in a township there to surf. So, you know, Matt called them up and was like, hey, what's going on? We had no idea where they were. We had no idea what's going on. They're like, hey, we're going to be in Huntington Beach tomorrow and let's meet up. So we're like, yeah, let's do it. So we met up with them, had an awesome conversation. They, you know, they told us about what they do and the township in Africa. And if you guys don't know, Jeffreys Bay has one of the best, you know, it's a world-renowned wave.
Yeah.
One of the best right-hand point breaks. There's WSL goes there. So we were also, you know, stoked to go to a spot. We both, I was just kind of starting off to surf, but, you know, had a huge passion for it and loved it. Mm-hmm. But we were like, you know, it was cool to hear his heart and what he was doing. And we agreed. He said, I need you guys there for around 3 months, you know, which was a lot longer than we were thinking about going for. But let's do it. So we quit our jobs, flew out to South Africa and got plugged into, it was called Aleph. Mm-hmm. And so when we got there, we started, you know, decorating this garage that was in the township. And Matt and I would go there every single morning, and there were no kids at the time at that moment. So we would sit around and pray here and there and hope that kids would come. And it started to, we started to get so many kids. They were, two kids were walking by and asking, and this is broken English. They speak Afrikaans, but they were, you know, insinuating, is this for sale? And we were like, no, we want to take you guys surfing. And they were stoked about that. They went and got their friends, and it just spread. So we, Matt and I were taking, oh gosh, 12, 13, you know, crazy, crazy boys down to the beach and teaching them how to surf. And, you know, they picked it up really quickly. But that really started, although there wasn't a lot of, you know, ministry as far as us sharing the Bible and us praying. Yeah. You know, we were just trying to keep things simple. We got down there. We prayed before we went in the ocean. We taught them, you know, who created the ocean. You know, just very simple things. You know, and also just loving them and seeing them and encouraging them was something that is not, you know, does not happen a lot in that community. Mm-hmm. So the guy who started it in South Africa would come in and he did speak Afrikaans and was able to do different little Bible studies with them. But as far as Matt and I are concerned, we were just there to love on those kids and to give them an opportunity, take them surfing. You need a surfboard, you need a wetsuit, it's still cold down there. All these things that they just don't have that we were able to provide for them. And I think that's what really opened my mind to ministry doesn't need to be in this box of, okay, you go to an orphanage or you go build a house or you go work with this or that. You know, it really was really fun because we love to surf. You know, we believe that God gives us certain passions that he wants us to use. You know, if I don't want to go, if I don't know how to build a house or I don't know how to do, you know, if I'm not good with kids or if I'm not good with this, like, why are you doing that necessarily? You know, and why aren't you finding out, like, what am I passionate about? What are the things that God has laid on my heart that I enjoy to do? And, you know, just like with you and skateboarding, like when we'll unpack that, but it becomes extremely fun. It doesn't feel like a drag. It's never boring. We had a blast for those 3 months that we were out there taking kids surfing, seeing them get excited and get passionate about the same things that we were, is something that just fills you with joy and encouragement. And you just don't want it to stop. So
there's these two young kids, you and Matt, who just feel the nudge. We want to do some kind of ministry, whatever. You took the step of faith, got out of the boat, quit your job. I'm not telling everyone listening, quit your job. That was specific to them at that day. But
that time was easy.
That was the point of the time. You're young enough, you're able enough, and you loved surfing. So I remember you guys going over there and saying, we're doing this kind of ministry, whatever. You get there, start loving on people. Obviously, you're getting some waves. I'm sure there's tacos, there's big scary fish over there. I don't want to go in that ocean. But now what? You began to connect with these kids. And so you're coming back. And how does that transition to our home church and what would begin to be birthed?
Yeah. Before I touch on that, I was just thinking, I want people to understand that before men, I did this, this wasn't anything that was on my heart my whole life. I grew up not thinking, I want to do missions. I want to do this. I want to be youth pastor. It never hit me. I went to a Christian high school, but then I went to, you know, a secular college for business. It was never like, this is my passion. This is what I want to do. I want to share about Jesus. I want to like do these things. But I think, I don't know what just clicked. You just wanted to go and you know, I got plugged into my local, you know, the church out, and it was at Rock Harbor Central at the time I was going, and got plugged into serving and doing things there. And then, you know, being with a good friend like Matt, you know, we're just bouncing ideas and bouncing stoke off each other. Let's go somewhere. Mm-hmm. Let's do something. So I think that's what kind of started. And then when I was there, that's when it just was like, this is rad. This is what we want to do. And never for like a full-time job, never thinking like that, just thinking, you know, it'd be cool to do something like this back at home. Yeah. So fast forward to, you know, guys coming back, ran into, Andrew Shea flipping burgers at Rock Harbor Central. He was, you know, preaching there. It's and I had a little burger ministry, you know, trying to create community after the night service. And so we would sell burgers for like a dollar and hang out. And that's where I met Shay. And Shay was like, you know, he wanted to get to know me a little bit more. Wanted to, you know, he like, we were talking a lot and he, you know, he kind of poured into me and said, let's meet up and I want to hear what's going on. So we got to talk and I told him about what we did. And then that's when he was saying, have you heard about Oakview, this community that's by, you know, this, the church in Huntington, our church in Huntington Beach. He was pastoring Rock Harbor Huntington Beach at the time. And we were like, no. And then that's who he was like, you guys should do that in Oakview. And yeah, when we came back, we weren't looking to get into something right away. We were just went back, got normal jobs. So we were like, yeah, let's try that out. You know, Matt and I went around with a couple other people and knocked on doors with the help of Nora, who works with us now. She got a couple kids that she knew, her kids and some of her, you know, family, and then some random kids that we had. And there was 9 kids to begin with. And I mean, we just had the surfboards. We bought a couple surfboards, donated a couple wetsuits. So when we didn't have, that was it. So we found out that as we're doing this, you know, these kids, a lot of them hadn't been to the ocean, a lot of them hadn't been to the beach. So it's really cool for us to watch some kids go into the ocean for the first time. we also had to take a step back. We were expecting to like these kids, to be crazy and wild and like the kids back in Africa who were just like doing backflips off of roofs and they were crazy.
Yeah.
And they picked it up really quickly. They all knew how to swim or whatever, but we realized, okay, these guys, you know, in Oakview, we'd like swimming. We like realized, okay, we got to teach them how to swim.
Yeah.
You know? We got to, and then they, you know, they were.
Wait, explain this, right? You're 5 minutes from the beach.
Yeah.
The area is called Oakview, but it was known as the Slater Slums for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have certain parts of town where maybe it was like people connected together. So these are people that had never really just gone down to the beach that often. Yeah. And this is the kind of area that's got the gangs. So literally, whatever his name is, would get up in the morning, get on the school bus, be bused outside the community maybe, or to the other side. When he gets off the bus, there's a gang waiting saying, hey, are you going to be in our gang or their gang? And this is all within a mile, so their brothers are getting into it, all the rest of it. And my point is that for 30 years, I mean, there's books written about this place. And my point about Brian Welch is we were driving down beach, and I took him in there and talked about what you guys are doing. He's like, wait, this is right here? A lot of people don't even know it exists in the middle of Huntington. They might have just heard things about it. So these two kids go in there, Christians, fresh out of Jeffrey's Bay. You're throwing a bunch of kids in the van. Obviously, Andrew Shea, who Jake just mentioned, is our lead pastor. Hey, go ahead. Let's figure out what's happening. You've got some surfboards in the garage with some padlocks on it. And you're starting to hang out with these kids. All the kids in South Africa are crazy, but these kids are very reserved. Why are these kids coming into my community? Why are they taking us in a bus? What are they trying to do? So go on.
Yeah, I mean, we were just taking our own personal cars at the time. It was just such a, so like grassroots.
Yeah.
What do you have? Let's use that. We were using a lot of our friends at the time, just like friends that we grew up, you know, we lived with, whatever, as volunteers, as people that wanted to do this. And so, you know, it was really special because when you teach someone, especially with surfing, you know, you're out there in an element that's uncomfortable for them. They do enjoy it. They like to be in the water, but there's still a little fear. They rely on us a lot. So we're already immediately building this like bond of trust, you know, like they know we got them. They know we care about them. You know, we're going to take, you know, they're like, get on the board. They grab onto you. So it was a really cool, it helped us create a really quick bond with them. You know, we're also going and taking them and doing something that is new to them and it's fun. So they're really enjoying that. So we were using that in that relationship. And I have to back up because I want to explain why it's called Common Ground.
Yeah.
We got it from 1 Corinthians 9:22, where Paul is talking about finding common ground with anyone to lead them to Christ and to share, you know, God's love. And
amen.
Took that extremely to heart, and we wanted to make that, you know, our mission and our passion was, you know, finding common ground with anyone to, you know, lead them to Christ. So we used surfing in the beginning. We wanted to use the surfing as something that, you know, brought us together, found the common ground. We all like to go to the beach. We all like to surf. And we built that relationship upon that. And that experience that we had in, you know, at the beach. And we used that to then every single day after the surf camp that we would do, we would break into small groups and we'd have a Bible study. Super simple, just to kind of get them introduced to who Jesus was, what the Bible is, what prayer looks like. So
we are Christians as well. Here's these kids on the beach. What does it mean when we sit now and we maybe eat our snacks and we hear a 5 or 10 minute talk on Jesus, you know, because a lot of for that community, they're like, we're Catholic. So they have the very Spanish style, Mexican style Catholicism, maybe not the typical Christian style, right? So here you guys are. And here's why this is interesting. I was thinking of this when you were saying it earlier. Something came up on my wall yesterday, and it was Paul Tripp, the very known, you know, preacher and speaker and the rest. Mm-hmm. And it just said, built a mini ramp. And he's on stage and he just says, guys, you know what one of the best investments in my life was? And I thought it was amazing knowing you were going to be on. Of course, I agree with this. I'm a skater. But he said, one of the best investments in my life was building a skateboard ramp in my backyard. And people start laughing. But what he says is, we built that ramp for my boys who loved skating. And the amount of people that came through our house and that generation that we got to sit with and connect with and engage with changed their lives and ours. And he goes on and makes some funny points, you know, about the neighbors and yada, yada, yada. But his point is, when they were tearing that ramp down years later, when their sons were older, it was a sad day. Because in that ministry, a lot of times we view ministry, like I said, as going to seminary or proclaiming a message. But Paul has sent us to do ministry in word and deed, and it has to involve both. You can serve a lot of people with a lot of things that are very Jake-focused and never really be about the gospel. But for it to really be Christ, we've got to love them in a new way where they see the kingdom, and then we've got to be able to find a way to share with them. And you, no matter what anyone says, I'm writing a book on evangelism right now. I can't just stop every single person in the supermarket and say, just so you know, this is what sin is. Put the peas down. Here's the gospel. What do you want to do? We have to go out and permeate culture, which is exactly what you guys did. So I'm saying all that for the listeners to go, okay, basically, here's some guys hanging on a beach with a bunch of kids, their brothers and sisters, some people from church volunteered. And we're at a season where you're beginning to share this truth. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So.
No, it's, I think that's super, super important is building that community, building that relationship. And I love how Paul talks about finding common ground. I love that Jesus went around to people's houses and ate them. Jesus loved to eat. Jesus did a lot of things on common ground with food all the time. You know, I loved how much he loved to eat. So, and that's what we do a lot at common ground too. We love to eat and,
yeah.
Meals. But anyways, so we go and as we're doing this, I mean, this is so like Matt and I's thing. You know, we didn't really plan out what would happen after the four. We did like 5, 6 maybe surf camp days. And then we're finding out, talking about camping, you know, you're starting to get to know them more. You're starting to, they're starting to open up more to you. And they're like, whoa, what's camping? You've never been camping. Like, what are, you know, s'mores? What are, you know, I've never been in a tent. I've never been.
Crazy.
So we're like, oh, dude, you know, man, we love to camp. We know we love to go to down to Santa. We love to, you know, camping and surfing go like hand in hand, especially out here. So we booked a campsite and we got like Thaddeus, who was working at Rock Harbor Ranches or Rock Harbor, sorry. Huntington Beach, sorry. And he came and gave, you know, just like a regular camp thing, gave awesome messages in the morning and night around the fire. And it was super powerful. The kids, you know, all were, you know, pretty much all of them accepted Christ. And they were stoked. You could tell, you know, things were different. Just the more the questions they would ask and it was just a blast. You could tell how much fun they had. They loved their, I still have pictures of the kids the first time in their tents. Like they just came in there, they wanted to sleep in the sleep bags. I mean, that still happens to this day. You know, they love to be, you know, in their tents and everything like that. But it just opened up. I mean, that just was huge, taking them out even further out of their community. camping, fire, s'mores, it just created more of a bond.
Yeah.
Well, that was started with 9, and it literally, we just kept doing that every single year, and it just kept doubling 9, you know, 16, 25. And the last one we did, we had over 50, 55 or something. So it's continuing to grow. It's continuing to get even bigger. Kids are inviting their friends now, you know, more and more. But just to go back to that, you know, from surf camp, after the first year surf camp, you know, we're all working still, having normal jobs. You know, Matt and I would go in once a week and do a Bible study. Super small. Sometimes no one would come. Sometimes one kid would come. We'd try and do things. We didn't have anything. We were, we'd have a football, and then we would like, we wanted the basketball, so we'd play basketball with a football. Just like, it was so lame. Like, I don't know why anyone would come, but we were super consistent. We'd show up every day on Thursday. We'd try and do random things, keep it engaging, which is hard with kids to, you know, keep them interested and engaged in something. So, you know, that was hard. I mean, those were hard times. So, you know, we continue to do it. And I really do see the importance to having a partner in something, having someone that is with you in that moment, you know, that someone that can be showing up together, you're doing it together. It makes it would have been really hard to do that by myself, you know, or Matt to do it by himself. You know, we always would talk about how we're super glad that we're both doing this together and building each other. I know there's that verse where Paul talks about, or Jesus talks about using two strings are obviously better than one. And
yeah,
just created it that, I mean, I think that applies not only, you use in a marriage a lot, but even when in ministry, having two people going.
Well, it was sent out in twos as well. And you're going and you bounce. And I remember you guys at the stage, hey, we're doing this. Hey, we're trying that. How long should Bible studies be? What should this be like?
Yeah. But we're trying to figure out bouncing things off of each other. And then also at the end, you know, being able to reflect with each other on how that went. How did it go? How can we do it better? You know, we're just, it was awesome. It was really sweet. And I think the ministry, you know, definitely benefited from, you know, just having each of us there together, building off each other. But
and then you got a couple of leaders, right?
What's that?
And then you ended up getting, I remember you got a couple of leaders. I remember my family came out to one of the camping trips, and they must have been 35, like you said, to 50 kids. We went up to, you know, north of LA off the side there, where I know there was homeless people staying in one of the campsites, but yeah. All the kids, like, I think I spoke 3 or 4 times, and they listened, they engaged. They'd ask questions, you know, a lot of them skateboarded, and we're going to unpack some of that. But so this starts going, you're getting the name Common Ground. It's going to become a nonprofit, right? Mm-hmm. And then how does it go from a couple of kids just knowing you in the neighborhood to eventually renting a space and having full on ministry from 2 every day, right? To like what, 9, 10 at night? I mean, how does that all begin to birth?
I think with us just being obedient and being just going out there and doing, jumping into something, not knowing, not having any expectations, you know, we weren't on this agenda to, if we get this many kids, then we can do this, then we can do this, you know, not thinking about that, just being super grateful for, I mean, we were stoked to have 9 kids there, you know, like, it'd be super devastating right now to only have 9 kids show up, but it's just grown, you know, but it's just, we were super stoked for every single thing that was thrown at us. I think everything, you know, the fact that it went gradually and just, we were able to develop it a lot better, but we were having, I think it was like after our 3rd surf camp, you know, we had 30 kids and we were like, dang, these kids are hearing the gospel. They're, you know, they're being, you know, transformed through this way, but we know that it just doesn't stop here. You know, we can't just say, okay, they accepted, they heard the gospel, we're good. Obviously, and it just starts, right? You need to go through discipleship. We know that we need to be pouring into these kids on a daily basis, not just once a year. So we looked at what, you know, how can we do this full time in and a building, massive warehouse with a big giant field opened up, you know, and we thought, you know, talking with just a kind of a loose board that we had at the time, you know, we wanted to raise $150,000 to secure that building.
So now it's getting serious. It isn't just Jake and Matt. Now you're about to connect with church. And it's important people realize this is a para-church ministry. Yes, we're all the church. And Jake said a relevant point here, especially when, even I know I'm going to have Austin Acres on soon, you know, as a youth pastor, a lot of times ministries just happen outside the church and they never really connect people with church. Sometimes there's people who are mad at the church. You realize really early on, hey, we're hanging out with them once a week, but if these kids are coming to faith, this can't be the only church they experience. So that would become built into the system. Guys, we go to our home church, come with us and get plugged in. But you guys are soon able to have like three or four nights a week, you were having different people coming in and sharing the gospel. I was there every week as well. So Anyway, in this building, $150,000. All right, Jake, what do you need $150,000 for? So,
that's when it did get really serious. I mean, now we're, you know, the church, I think, just to reiterate what you were saying, was so important.
Yeah.
If the church did not get behind us, this would not have taken off. We didn't have the people that believed in it, that were, you know, dedicated and disciplined to, you know, invest in us. They're giving. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you start, people start giving $20,000 to this, you like take a deep breath, like, whoa, this
I
is.
I remember.
Yeah, people are giving, they're saving, you know, giving, you know, retirement, giving all these things to us. Donations, you know, that are, they're just like, okay, we want to invest in this, you know. Although that was insanely encouraging, you know, and to have those people that believed in us and wanted to see this go and be something long term, you know, you're like, okay, this is, it starts to get like, okay, we don't want to make a mistake. We want to make sure things are in line. You know, it started to become more of like, let's just take kids down to the beach, but like, let's get a plan going, which is good. I know Matt spent a lot of time forming, you know, our bylaws and building up the organization legally, which was awesome for all the work that he put into that. But, you know, we, you know, through, I think it was 3 months campaign, you know, praying and asking, this was just branches of the time.
Yeah.
One church.
Just putting you guys before our home church. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, this is right. Yes. So this was our home church, but they raised us $160,000 within that 3 months. And then we're like, okay, we feel this definitely feels like something that we can do now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we put that lease down on the building and moved in, and things just got even crazier. I mean, they offered
us. That's what I was going to say. This is when you really started being like, I don't know why, whoever that is, what is that thing called, Siri or Alexa, is trying to put music on?
Serious. I think you said serious.
Okay, chill, Alexa. Yeah.
Alexa? Oh, sorry. Yeah.
But this is when I remember you saying, Brian, and these are the questions people don't understand a lot. I travel, do ministry, so I've gone to places where there's 100,000 people in front of me. I'm going to speak to them. What do the investors want to see? If that's what we're focused on, how much are we going to manipulate and be emotionally drained? And I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? Or I've gone to places where you're at a skate park and there's 50 kids and it might seem like 40 of them are not listening. And I just remember sitting there, and this is what I would encourage anyone with, guys, if you're called to something, put your hand to it and do it. And you don't even know the fruit. One of the big things with Common Ground was that you guys had in your favor that you maybe didn't realize was, if you do this for 3 months or 3 years or 30 years, it's going to saturate that area where you might not even see the full on fruit of it in your lifetime. But for you guys, obviously with kids coming to play soccer, first of all, then we were able to get a skate park there. Then you had many women's and children's and all kinds of stuff going. You've seen the fruit almost instantly. But I remember being like, we're these two young guys. We're surfing a lot. What does this look like? And we'd have many times eating and just connecting. What should the Bible studies be like? How often do you share the gospel? You know, so all these thoughts you're getting hit with. Fortunately, I know our pastor became a member of the board. Many people that were great, you know, and people like Mark Friend, who are successful, like realtors, people that had overseen massive corporations, they got behind it. You're talking $160,000. You got to be a good steward. You want to steward the time. Let's unpack this stuff. What does it begin to look like then? You know, where do your fears go to faith, basically? Yeah.
I mean, okay, so now it was like, I mean, yeah, the board was super helpful with directing us on business mindset. You know, trying to figure out how to allocate this. How much money should we spend in renovating it? How much money should we spend in this? How can we do this to a point where we don't run out. I mean, $150,000 is a lot of money, but at the end, you know, when you're trying to build out a nonprofit, you know, build out a warehouse,
yeah,
money can go quickly. So, I mean, it really took a board and a lot of people's heads to really do this well. I mean, at this time point still, Matt and I are still not getting paid, not taking this to a point where we're like, we want to do this. This is what we want. You know, we're just kind of just being like, this is, you know, we're, I don't know. It's just the funny conversation. Like, well, we could like work half, you know, just yeah. funny. Like, we could work half and then do the other half. We could be here. I don't know. It was, it would not have worked like that. But anyways, yeah, it was even just like, what did we want this space to even look like, and
yeah.
how it was going to be open, and when it was going to be open. And it, I think, you know, we, it took a long time to be able to even occupy the place. It was, it had, it wasn't up to fire code. It was the, you know, there's a lot of different things. The field that we had was, had so much dirt and piles of dirt on it that were,
yeah.
we, you know, we wanted to, you know, get turf and build a skate park, and that all those things had immense amounts of hurdles that we had to go over. Mm-hmm. But it took time, and we slowly, you know, we got the warehouse cleaned. We had to do a lot of demolition in there. And we, you know, we just slowly opened up whatever space we had open. It was open. Kids would come mm-hmm. and hang out after school. And, you know, we didn't really have a method of it. People, kids would just come and hang out. And it was something, it was just a space. And we started to realize that kids just want to have a place to come after school. Mm-hmm. The biggest danger is that you don't want to go home because, you know, if you have 10 people living in that home, there's no, you don't have your own space. You know, I grew up, you know, I had a room, I had a house that had a couple rooms in it, but I could just have my yeah. own space. And that just isn't necessarily happening in Oakview. So it's just a little bit different. They like to have a place where they could come. They could be their own. They had a lot of things they could do. It was a little bit bigger. It wasn't so crammed.
Yeah.
And so we kind of just slowly started gradually opening up things. And then we, Matt was found a guy who was getting rid of a skate park, you know, and this is something that Matt and I always wanted, you know, to have at that spot, even though we didn't skate, we just knew the culture and a lot of the kids in that mm-hmm. area loved to skate, and that we knew we wanted to build something for that for them. So, you know, we get plugged in with a guy up in Santa Maria that's giving away a skate park, and it took, gosh, 4 days to drive up there in massive trucks to go and get everything. And, you know, and so as we, you know, we bring everything out, and that skate park still didn't get put up for, I want to say like 9 months or a year, maybe.
Stored. And just, I'm going to chime in to help people paint the picture. When you guys got the warehouse, to understand what Common Ground is and Oakview is, it's a certain area, but literally 30, 40, 50 people from our church community, you would have people that were showing up, you know, Saturday morning. This community is tiny. So you're seeing all these different ethnicities gathering. You're seeing them digging up the ground. You're seeing them laying turf. You're seeing them redo this pretty much old building where there's businesses on top of it. It's getting painted white. You've got Common Ground logos on the walls. The kids are now coming and hanging out. I see, you know, remember them all eating their pizza and their Cheetos and their Mountain Dews, just watching. There's one of them. What are these people doing? And the goal wasn't to plant a church there. For those listening, go, well, it should be a church. No, the goal was to basically become a community within a community that loved on a community. So they're now trusting you, the locals. I remember, like I said, there was 4 shootings. You hear about people's brothers. There was things that were crazy, but you guys were in there seeing change, and it was already beginning to be heard through the police force. What has happened in this community? And these kids have somewhere to go. We're not in Jerusalem anymore. You know, 2,000 years ago with Jesus, we're all gathered in one accord and the church is being birthed. This instead is you guys going into a community, almost Navy SEAL style, to just hang out. And now you're talking about a skate park. And I remember it's coming on the trucks, and you guys went up those few days. I was back here. We start building this thing. And now you're beginning to have an agenda where you can pick your days and nights when people come in and speak, when things happen with food. So it's beginning to take shape, right? And the whole time, just so people hear, you're still doing your mini 5 to 50 minute Bible studies, which I remember There was a couple times when kids wanted to do something and someone couldn't that day. And a lot of these kids who weren't even believers would be like, where's the message? Who's coming to speak to us today? But when you show up, they don't say anything. They just kind of like, look at you. And they're sitting there hearing about, you know, why drugs are bad or Noah's Ark or whatever it is. You know, I remember I preached on the Satan one time and they were all like, what's this?
No, that's something that Matt and I always wanted to be a part of any single outreach, you know, whether it was, you know, we started a soccer night where Johnny and his wife and he'd bring a couple people. Johnny goes to Branches and he's one of the trainers for the LA Galaxy. I'm a Hispanic man and the kids just love Johnny. You know, I think what was so special about that is him and his wife would come and these kids looked up to him. You know, he's, you know, successful. He played MLS for a little while. He grew up in a town in a little city community just like they did. So he relates really, really well. And he used that spot. You know, we told him, you know, we would like to have during this time, he'd just roll up and he'd get 3-on-3 tournaments and just 3-on-3 games, you know, winner stays on, winner, you know, whatever. It's super simple. But he'd always break it up and he'd have like a little water break where kids would come around and be like, all right, let's get some water. And he would share just, you know, I'm thinking about this and this is how God's showing up in my life. Just super simple little messages. And I think that was rad. And I also think it was really cool to have not only that, the message, but the kids are seeing him and his wife were just awesome. You know, they were seeing a healthy relationship.
What's his background? What's his culture, ethnicity?
I think he's just a Latin American dude.
So he's Latin American. His wife is white.
Yes.
Yeah, the kids are all mixed anyway. So you're just seeing this guy that's diligent, hardworking. And these people aren't going to serve to go get their points. And there's this idea that the Christian world goes and tells people so God will accept us. And that's not true. He accepts us only because of Christ. But then he calls us to do these amazing things that involve other people. So Johnny's just stepping into his call. Kids are seeing this. That's a whole other witness outside of just the word of God. Amen? You
know, and what I love about Johnny too is he's kind of just like me, you know, didn't grow up, didn't go to Bible school, doesn't speak, doesn't get up in front of crowds, doesn't want any sort of, he's just a normal dude that loves to play soccer. You know, and was lucky enough to make a career out of it and was just saw the benefit of like, hey, I love to do this. This is, it just was natural to him. It's something that wouldn't be natural. It's like running, you know, running groups, talking about Jesus. Like, it just was natural for him in that moment. So I think that was, it was really cool to see him take that over and really be super amazing at it.
Yeah.
And that's something that we always wanted. We always wanted Common Ground to be a place where people could bring in their own passions.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert soccer player. I don't skateboard. I can barely surf.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see those people that are taking it, that are passionate and are very good at it, whether it's, you know, you with skateboarding or Johnny with soccer or some of the moms would come in and do, you know, crafts and were good at art.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a place where people could also come in and witness and use their passions for.
Well, it basically became a youth group and a community. And even as I mentioned, Austin Akers, you know, who, been longtime friends for all of us. One of the things that youth pastors get challenged with is what is youth ministry? And a lot of time it is creating a culture where these kids can go and hang out. And for those who are listening, we've had these conversations often a lot, especially as I've traveled with pastors. But I remember one of my friends trying to figure out, how do you sell skateboards to churches? And as he went and studied the demographic, he said, most kids do drugs, look at things they shouldn't, and get into bed with someone for the first time between the hours of 2 and 7. And the reason that's the case is because they get off school, there's nothing to do. So while mom and dad are out working or living out their hobbies or doing whatever, kids are just getting into trouble. But what you guys created and what youth pastoring, I would say what a lot of churches should do, is take the church building, have a skate park on the side, have a volleyball court, have soccer, have the youth pastor go and hang out. Have the kids show up with their backpacks who are struggling with stuff, who are facing whatever, who they don't like their dad, don't even know their parents, whatever. Give them a culture to sit in. And so I get the preaching and the teaching of the word. That's always there. I mean, you know me, you know, my thing's always don't wait 6 months, don't wait 6 weeks, don't wait 6 minutes. The gospel's today, you know, but you guys, and that's what's scary to me. You made the point about Johnny or myself. I remember Johnny saying, you know, what do we even do? And I'm like, well, all you can do is what God's gifted you to do. So the fact that you've helped run part of the LA Galaxy, which is one of the most, I mean, it's the most profound soccer team in America. You know what I mean? Whether it was a David Beckham and Abraham or whatever his name is, you just go up and do your little soccer things and they're going to be enamored with, okay, this guy knows probably these professionals. This guy's got his wife. And then for me, I'll come in and do a night or two, a very serious. And, you know, remember what we would do? We would walk, because you guys got a system where, and I know I'm jumping around a bit, but to help people understand, it basically ran like you would get there at 2 p.m. You would be there mostly, or Matt would be doing other things. Nora would join you here. Kids would show up. You'd get things going for the night. Kids would be crafting. This is their after school. Maybe you'd have books or crafts, or you guys would watch a movie. There was a little mini skate park, skate ramp in the corner at one time, ping pong table. The doors are open, the field's right there. You would go till 4, 5, 6. Then you would have like skate night. Then I'd show up with, you know, the kids, invite a few different friends. If there could be 4 or 5 of us that kind of were dominant. Obviously you were there, Matt, his friends. We get on a microphone, play some music, get all the pizza, the drinks, speak for 5, 10, 15 minutes, challenge them, encourage them, sometimes invite them to come into a real serious time of prayer. But we knew we were doing that. So for the rest of the night now, the next hour or so, they could come and engage with us, come and talk with us. We'd go outside to the skate park, put some music on, and I would just make fun of people. And I mean in a way that's like, oh man, he tried to kickflip, we did a kick flop, you know, or just messing with them so they trust you. And then when you really want to speak the hard things into them, like, man, how's life? How are you doing? They've already got that trust. That's what it became to me. You know, I'm good at going and going, what do you want me to do? But overseeing, I can have a ministry administrative gift for what I've got to do, but for what you and Matt were doing and overseeing like 4 or 5 nights was crazy. So anyway, it was going successful. All this is happening. So the skate park's in. Things are happening. Many kids are confessing, and now their parents and family are already getting involved, right? Yeah. They've seen the investment. So,
I mean, that's something also that started to grow is just how to engage with the whole, you know, getting the families invested in us. And
yep.
I think one of my favorite memories and moments of Common Ground was meeting Jair, you know, as a, you know, a father that lived in that community, which I hadn't met any of the fathers in that community for, you know, a couple years since I've been there, and to have him come in and was like, what's going on here? What's happening here? And, you know, he was running a small high school group out of his house and small little house. And so he was like, I want to help out. I want to get involved. And that grew, he started to run our high school nights alongside of one of other leaders, Juliet. Mm-hmm. And that was super cool to have just a dad, you know, and that lived in that community there, you know, such a godly man mm-hmm. full of faith. You know, you talk to him, he's encouraging, he builds you up, he calls you out. It just like, you know, just like a normal dad, you know. So
did he have to call you out a lot?
Oh, he called, yeah. No, he would. Yeah, all right, watch him get...
It's like, why are you rolling your pants up like this? Yeah. Why did you serve for so long? No, but he was. He was consistent. He's a mainstay. And he had skin in the game, you would say. He's in this community. And you would hear these stories. Hey, my brother got into a gang. This person was shot. Hey, this is what's for us. But the other thing is, you're seeing people like yourself coming into this community. And I remember these kids like, man, I can start a couple of times they'd have little music jams and there was a drum kit sitting out, but just given this community, they'd never been to the beach. And now you're thinking, wait a minute, you can get involved in ministry. You can go be an accountant. And that's where I think even the officials began to see you guys are having a real effect in this community. And now I mean, what would it be, two or three times a year you would do like days with the whole church? Would they go and rent like all the jumpers and the whatever? They do a back to school gathering. You guys begin to partner with the school in there. And it just became like a fellowship that just took over, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, something really cool about the community too is they throw a lot of parties for, you know, Cinco de Mayo. They have Day of the Child. So they do a Halloween thing. I mean, just, they have a, you know, Christmas tree lighting. I mean, we get to be a part of all those fun to help out and support that community in just a bigger way than just our little thing on the side. But, that we love to do that. That's just so much fun.
The backpacks, you guys would get donated backpacks full of like pencils and notepads, erasers. And so these kids would be walking up to like bouncy house. And honestly, for the church today, I mean, if we're as wealthy as we are, they say we're top 5% of the wealthiest people that have ever lived. I mean, that's why I think our church has done so successful through this whole epidemic, is because Branches has, like I said, what, 7 or 8 ministry partners. So we're all always doing something. You got people around the world. You got people serving young lives like Myrna. You've got people like yourselves. So to go and get 300 backpacks. I remember Quicksilver gave a lot of backpacks. And local companies gave shoes. And this is just the church reaching out going, guys, do you have any resources? And now this community's walking up. They were getting candy. They were getting hot dogs. They were having a day. It was like a carnival and a festival. And all it really is guys, here's love in the name of Jesus. And that's as easy as the gospel is. And your point was amazing. Jake, I never planned on having a podcast when I was like, I don't even know a podcast where they didn't exist yet. I didn't plan on preaching and teaching. I mean, no, you know what I mean? And I don't think the Apostle Paul planned on reaching the Gentiles either. So God got, or Noah didn't plan to build an ark. And I'm not saying you're missing it for anyone that's listening, but what's already there? You know what I mean? I love skating, but most of the skaters are like, Brian, why did you get focused on so many other ministries? Because I was divorced and God restored our marriage. So that was marriage ministry. But now with Jude, you know, is a crazy skater, I can feel myself being pulled even more into skate ministry. So Common Ground's doing so well. Then what takes place? It's blowing up. You're raising consistent support. Now you've got a few people that every time you do fundraising, you do your banquet, Andrew would speak at it. And the elders and those who oversee would push people towards it, which is what you should be doing. And then what happens with the building not so long ago?
Yeah. Was it last December? We lost it. They sold it to a after school.
Help them understand. You didn't lose. It wasn't something you guys did. It wasn't like, no. Oh, we made a bad. You guys.
Yeah, no, they just. We were on terminated lease. I mean, they could get rid of us anytime. We had that spot for 5 years, and then they gave it to a daycare center. That's still in the process of being built up at that corner. But yeah, so we pretty much became homeless for a time.
And just so you know, look at this. Here's.
Oh, yes. Show them the back, Brian.
I'm about to. Here's my Common Ground shirt. And here's the back.
The old warehouse there.
There is the warehouse. If you're listening online, sorry, guys. You have to go to the YouTube channel. Just on the Brian Sumner. But the Common Ground building, the way they lost it was the investors that came into Huntington who started building all these properties everywhere. That's like a prime location. And so whoever owned it said, hey, we're going to have to make some changes. We're going to give you a certain amount of time to get out. So are you then kicked out of the community? Well, no, now you're part of the community. You lose the building, but we did everything we could. We kept going right up to the last minute. You're out of the building. And what has been the focus since?
So that was a huge blow. I mean, talk about that guy losing a mini ramp.
Yeah.
We lost a skate park where, you know, kids were coming to, we had kids coming from LA, remember?
Yeah.
And then Long Beach and stuff. And for those nights, for those kids.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. But I mean, that was a hard blow. But so we, had to rely on the community even more so now. We had to double down and hit, you know, with the relationships that we built with the school, with the FRC, with the center. We had to like, so, hey, can we use, and then just to be clear, when we first started doing this, we used one of the rooms at the school.
So yeah, one of the classrooms.
It was just like a weird, like full circle, like back now, you know, you go from something and then you build this epic spot, you know, where so much magic is happening. And it's just kind of like it's hard to go back to like, a classroom, no skate park, no soccer field. You know,
it's almost like you were bringing something to the community, and then when the building fell through, the community is bringing something to you. Mm-hmm. Because I remember the headmaster, every time I'd see anything, then you'd have the headmaster of the school, you'd have someone from the police. We love the work. Because here's the thing, when you go in and you just, like I said, there's skin in the game, that book that wrote about it, it was always typecast as a place where there's crime at times, very low income. And that's not at the fault of anyone that's living there. You know what I mean? That was almost a mile by mile, 10,000 people. But like you said, you had people coming in from different parts of the world that were in town and they want to come down and, oh, we heard from Brian about skate night. Or we heard about this thing that you guys are doing. Or we heard there's some surf thing going on. So it just grew and grew and grew. So they put you back in the classroom, right? And this is what, last year? The end of last year?
Yeah, we just finished an entire school year of being in the classroom, and that just made us more aware of, you know, we had to like relook at everything. How are we going to do this? You know, we don't have the skate park anymore. We don't have a soccer field anymore.
Yeah.
You know, what's ministry going to look like? And it became something really cool. I mean, we became more aware of what needed to be done in the community through with the school. We were able to help out the school more. We were able to help out that community even in more ways. We started a community clean where the kids would be able to walk around. We'd walk around the neighborhood every Wednesday and clean up a certain street with the kids.
The kids would clean?
Kids would clean with us.
Can you come and bring that ministry to my house?
Yeah.
Because my wife and I are into that. Now the house is clean right now. We got the kids cleaning. But the kids would go around and clean up the community, right?
Yeah, the community. And
wow.
You could just tell it was...
And that's pride. And that's psychologically, that's saying we matter and we love and we're invested here. And that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You actually, they get to go and do these things that, you know, you're preaching to them. You're telling them, you know, love and service and... And then they're able to like go and do that, and they're able to experience, oh, this is cool. I'm picking up trash, and this is my neighborhood. And now,
yeah,
and it makes you more aware too of how much trash is on the ground. And you're like, I don't know, littering is like the biggest. The kids just whatever it is, they don't care. They throw it on the ground.
Yeah,
you know, which is hard to watch.
I mean, my favorite thing was. Was seeing all the lizards and snakes on the fields as well. Or you guys trying to get me to throw American footballs, which was never, it was humorous to you guys, but I didn't know what I was doing. So, yeah.
But so it's, that was really special. I mean, that was really cool. And then we did we started doing movie nights instead of having them at our warehouse. We were able to do them in the middle of this community apartment complex where all the kids would come out. We met, you know, I mean, not to mention, we also met a lot of kids through picking up garbage that would just be like, hey, can I help? You know? And so we built a lot of relationships on just being more present. And that we met a lot more families through doing our movie nights in that community and, you know, partnering with other different organizations and helping them with what we had. And also just being in the school, we were able to meet, it was an elementary school, which we don't really have a lot of, we don't do a lot with elementary kids, but we were able to build relationships with the kids in that school just by seeing them. They get to know who they are. They know, you know, so that when they do get to that age, they know common ground. They're comfortable.
Yeah.
They know about surf camp. They want it. So it's just, it opened up us to get even bigger. I mean, that year, you know, I'm thinking, hey, we don't have a warehouse. Like, what's surf camp going to look like? And it was our biggest year without having a warehouse. You know, it was our biggest. We had so many kids that joined in for that last surf camp, which was really cool.
And so now where are you at? Common Ground, it sounds like we're saying, okay, where's it gone? But basically, we just talked a minute ago, and I didn't even know because we've all been in this pandemic doing whatever. but you guys are in the process of getting an actual property in the community.
Yeah, we are trying to.
But this is a purchase. This isn't renting it. This is purchasing a home.
Yes, that is our long-term goal, is to have a property, a location centered in the community.
Yeah.
You know, I think the warehouse is cool. We want to have a house with this house that we're looking at has a massive backyard. It's pretty much two lots. You know, we put an offer in. Now it's going to the court, and the court's gonna, it could go to auction. And we're just, you know, we're really praying for this during this process for this house. We really believe that this house, which is right across the street from the elementary school, where all the kids get dropped off after school, and it's just
And I got to say it again, guys, please picture this. For the person that might be listening who's the investor or that has money or just feels cold, you can walk around this neighborhood in 5 minutes. This isn't like these spread out neighborhoods where there's a house in a corner. The goal is to basically have like a mini YMCA. That's what it would be, right?
Yeah.
Where you have a house, where you have rooms that you would have. I remember you guys talking about having computers and teaching kids how to use them, how to do graphic design, how to do Photoshop, places to play instruments. Possibly the why you wanted a bigger lot is to, again, have some benches and banks. We've talked about having a skate company, maybe even pour concrete. As far as, you know, benches and ledges, and then build in some ramps in there. So this is like a whole new thing, but the difference is the nonprofit would own the title basically. And that's what it happened. And so the reason it's in auction is because what was the building before, and why is it, were they trying to sell it and it never sold, or what?
No, it was just a normal house with a family that, you know, the mom and dad got divorced. And became a huge legal battle over the house. And we're talking 9 years of just in the courts battling each other and getting pretty ugly, bankruptcy. Now the bank is in the court system. So it's been a long process. It was on the market when we were, looking, and luckily went and pursued this warehouse. But, you know, right after we lost the house started kind of starting to come to getting things taken care of, you know. Now it's like, okay, we're gonna stop with all this nonsense, and we're gonna start to try and put motions to sell this house. So, you know, we've been looking and working on that during this time, and during this you know, pandemic, the house has been slowly faster and more and more, you know, moving towards an end date. So we're really hoping for that to.
So it's in the court system now, and basically it would get sold. That money would go to either party or whoever it is that originally owned it.
The trustee that's assigned to it, and she's pretty much navigating, okay, but I got to get money towards the people that you owe money to. You know, this whole thing has cost a lot of money. So they need to sell it. They need to get this place.
We need to pray. Get you guys that property if it's the Lord's will. Get in there, and how soon will you know? In a couple months, or
probably a couple months we'll know if we do secure the spot. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty. I mean, we don't have a spot yet. Just to be clear, we're definitely trying to acquire that location, but something that our board and, you know, our leaders are praying for. And I know a lot of the kids have been invested and know what's going on. I mean, this has been a cool process, even for our kids to be a part of. I mean, to be, you know, to see us and what we've had, you know, and to find.
Jake means the kids that are the kids in the community. Jake doesn't have a wife and kids yet. I seen one of his roommates walk by. I know there's a vacuum cleaner in the corner. I wonder if anyone in the house even knows what to do with that. That's right. We have, you know, cement floors in our home, so we don't have to use that thing. But you're talking about all the kids.
Kids that are watching us, they called that their home, you know. This is
crazy.
Their spot, and they lost it. We all lost it, but the kids lost it as well. So, you know, just then bringing them into the process of praying for something, hopefully seeing God provide us with something.
Is
really special for these kids. So hopefully they see God's glory and in all of this happen. I mean, not to say that what he has been doing through the school and through everything has been awesome.
Yeah. They've already heard about God's goodness. I mean, probably thousands of times at this stage, you know, and we don't know when God's going to grab that seed and just lights it and wands them up for the next season. You know, they're influencing that community. So Well, and I know, here's the thing though. So someone could be listening going, oh man, this is cool. I've been friends with Brian for years. This is so cool. I'm on a drive. Great. But here's the reality is you guys just felt called. You know, you look at the Bible and the Bible says that they laid hands on them and set them apart for the ministry they were called to. And if the Bible says the gift and call of God is that repentance, that means I am made a specific way. The Bible says the Holy Spirit gives gifts to each. So every person has a spiritual Holy Spirit giving gift. We have the Holy Spirit in us as a fruit of the Spirit. That should be an evidence in the way we walk, you know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all characteristic of His dwelling in us. But what have you learned since being in South Africa? And what would you say to Jake years ago and Matt on the beach eating tacos after surfing? What would you say to someone that feels an unction to get into some kind of ministry, whether it's your age, 35 or 70? You know what? Yeah, there's just some meat for them to go, all right, to go sit with a pastor maybe, or to get a board around them, or what did that feel like? Help me out at that age, you know?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, first of all, there's no excuses to use what you have. I mean, Matt and I didn't have a warehouse when we started. Matt and I didn't have lots of money to pour into this. We had what we had. We had our cars. We had a couple foam boards. We had friends that had boards. So, I mean, there's really not an excuse to use something that you love, whether you're going to the basketball court, you know, using that to engage with certain people, play basketball, get to know them, you know, like Paul said, build up common ground with somebody, have people over at your house. If you love to cook, you know, you have neighbors, we all have neighbors, bring them over. You know, you don't need to, doesn't need to look like common ground per se, obviously, but
don't do it if you can't cook. That then they probably won't want to come back. Right.
Yeah. Well, we're lucky that we have a lot of, I don't cook, but we're lucky that we have a lot of, you know, families that have donated their food to Common Ground. I think that's an awesome way to use your gifts to come and serve. And that's helped us out tremendously.
Jake saying hospitality. I like it.
Yeah. No, that's
no
that's
excuses. And show hospitality. Starting off good.
But, I would say too, like for me, I think it's cool that, you know, people see someone up on a stage or, you know, oh, they speak really, you know, you need to speak, you go to Bible school, you need to like know what you're doing. I mean, I should not have been leading a Bible study. Like I shouldn't have been like through the going into a church and asking to be a youth pastor. Just wouldn't have worked out for, you know, but I think you don't need to have all of this knowledge and know all these things and go to school to be able to just share the gospel with somebody. I mean, that's
what. Let me help them understand what you're saying. So they're not like Jake's like, oh, just to go up there and wing what Jesus means when he talks about, you know, the unforgivable sin. We live in a day and age like it's never been. I remember we would talk and you go, hey, Brian, I remember you guys being diligent. How do you study? How do you prep? I mean, I don't have all my books behind me, but they're sitting right there. I have like 15 commentaries and you have as many commentaries as you want to go online and find, you know what I mean? So yes, the demoniac guy didn't go to seminary, didn't know the Bible. He just had an encounter with Jesus and he went off and began to proclaim what he knew. There's the gospel, but you were diligent. You did spend days planning for this 5 to 10 minute message to make sure you knew who was talking, who were they talking to? What is the spiritual principle? How does it apply to them in their life today? So that's something that just as Christians, we can all do. Some of them listen are like, oh my gosh, you know, my pastor's been preaching for 30 years. Like, yeah, but he only been preaching for 3 minutes at one time. Mm-hmm. Go get some commentaries, go and study. I mean, give us this day our daily bread. And if you're afforded a ministry like surfing or I don't know what people are doing, hockey or anything, you know? So anyway, should any of us have really been proclaiming the word of God? No, but this is how he made it. So you begin to start doing this. So we got no excuses, hospitality, opening the word of God, which is the most important one as well.
Okay. Yeah. I think becoming aware of the things that you are passionate about and a lot of people don't sit, I mean, thinking about what do I like to do? How can I use this? I mean, anyone can do that, you know? And I think you know, not having to get your point when you're doing this across all the time. You know, especially doing stuff with kids, you're going to realize that you start to slowly have, we all kind of might put an agenda in our head. Okay, I want them to be here. I want them to understand this, this, and this. I'm trying to get this, and this across. I want them to be in 2 years. I want them to be at this point. And that's just not having expectations for that. And knowing that you are only planting the seed and that God is, in fact, you know, watering that and making that grow. Mm-hmm. And I think we can get so tied up in being the ones that also make it grow and make it flourish. And if you're seeing it that angle, you're going to get super frustrated.
Really. You're not in control of, and we'd had those conversations and you were never like crazy stressed. You know, we'd go eat lazy dog here and you'd just be like, man, even when we did skate nights, you know, as an evangelist, I have two thoughts. I go, okay, is the goal to see a lot of kids from around the world show up to skate night? Or is the goal to love on the kids in common ground who want to skate? Those two distinctions are very different. If you want a lot of other people to come, let's go outside with flyers, invite them, get some product, give it away, bring them in. But if you want us to love on these kids, let's just hang out with them. So knowing what you can do is important. And then the other thing is, Jake isn't saying, because you don't know what's going to happen, be lazy. No. Prepare and pray and believe. We are the royal priesthood of this day. So you guys went sitting on your rear ends just waiting to see what God would do. I mean, you get up and you do something. You know, that's Christianity. So,
yeah, I think we're also looking for an adventure. And I mean, this was a crazy, crazy adventure. And it's still going. It's still happening. Mm-hmm. My life is, I think, extremely more exciting now that I have been, you know, putting my faith and following, you know, this direction as best I can. It's a crazy trip. And I think it's been fun to bring, you know, it's been, you know, just the fact that the community that's been built with the leaders, even, you know, I have just the utmost respect for anyone that's come and served in any capacity. Whether it's bringing food, whether it's, you know, watching the parking lot, or whether it's, you know, coming and playing soccer with the kids. You don't even need to like have a one-on-one moment with a kid. That's crazy. Just the fact that you're here, you're playing with them, you know, you're doing something with them, and is cool. We have a lot of, I think, common grounds flourish because of a lot of it has been because of the leaders that have been a part of Common Ground and dedication and time they put in. This is 8 years of doing this. This took a lot of time. You know, it's what's cool is I can go around the community. I know now after 8 years, you know, so many kids now, and we were watching kids graduate. Now it looks a little different now, but you know, last year we were able to go see.
You are that. Watching them online or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, it's cool to have that time where you go off and do ministry like Matt and I did in Africa, but there's something much more special, I feel like, when you're able to invest long term and you have that. When you watch kids grow up, you know, you're there the whole time. The kids in Africa now have Instagram and they've kind of hit me up here and there, and they're a lot more surfing still, which is really cool. But I mean, I think it's really special to be able to live life with someone and to be consistent for years. I mean, you just, there's real beauty in that. And I think that's really special.
I've told a lot of youth leaders, that youth pastors, you know, it's kind of like your coach at school. I mean, you don't forget them. Or even your youth pastor, because I'm going to go in and say, here's a 40-minute shooting off the word of God, almost very John the Baptist. You know, guys, God, you know, you hear how I preach and present the way I'm made, but the people that sit and are diligent, and yeah, you know, I'll get in there and we'll move the tables, or my family came over to help paint. We do, you know, our church community gets behind it, but it's very different to sit there and be present, because that's phone calls you're going to get in 10 years that you're like, oh my gosh, what are you doing now? Because they can move across America or the world. Mm-hmm. And that's the diligence. And I'm not telling everyone how to do this. You know, some people are called to go many places, but some are called to be planted one place. And what's around. And I love that you guys started with saying we felt called to almost like missions to go somewhere. And what you didn't even really say, but you've said the whole time, is Well, you got called to your backyard. Yeah. You know what I mean? To move almost into like a garage with some crusty foam boards and take the kids downtown with a bunch of wetsuits that probably didn't fit. And the first time you put a wetsuit on, you don't know what's going on. I wish you could have filmed that. And none of the kids ever passed away. None of the kids ever drowned, right? Because remember, the joke in church would be none of these kids have even swam before to an extent. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, and the invite for volunteers would be, if you just want to help, just help us make sure none of the kids drown. And that was kind of the...
Yeah, you don't need to surf. You don't need to... If you can sit, if you like just sit on the beach and... just make sure no one's drowning, then yeah,
that's the extent.
You're a volunteer, you can help out.
Good.
But yeah, no, it's that's just really special. I love that we got to go to Africa. I want to go back.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, feeling called. I mean, that's where the no excuses comes. I mean, you don't need to go overseas. You don't need to spend all your money and your life savings, quit your job and go off and do this stuff.
Sometimes that's in the name of adventure, but like who would have known that right there around the corner? And so where is this now then? All this is going on. You're still doing it. You're awaiting this building. And what's next? I mean, you're doing your nights still over there. You're still in contact with the kids. How do people get a hold of Common Grind or go? Because I know even for me, the past, however many years, the amount of times on Instagram and social media was to do with things we were doing and we're sharing this night or that night, or we do live feeds at the skate comps. How do people go and see what you're doing now? What's the website?
So you can go on. I mean, we have the website, like thecommonground.org. Our Instagram is more so updated, and you can see the kids and what's been happening.
And is it The Common Ground or Common Ground?
Thecommonground.org.
Yeah.
Our website's, I mean, our Instagram's Common Ground, underscore Common Ground, underscore. Obviously not too much is happening when the school's closed. We also kind of stopped all interactions with the kids. So obviously things are starting to get more. We can possibly start seeing them. We're going to try and start a mobile ministry where we take kids and buses and we go different things, like starting different little clubs where we can go places and do things with them, which I know that they've been excited about to get started. But I think I do want to say this, you know, just thinking about this whole thing, and what's really cool is we're dealing with a lot of kids who are going through just the normal trials of high school and middle school, you know, with, you know, we've seen some kids go through, you know, pregnancy and, you know, drugs and, figuring out the gender and, you know,
it's the new one. Yeah.
But what's cool is that they can bring all of that to Common Ground, and they're, you know, I guess the world sees the church as judging, and they don't want to go in. They're not going to be accepted, all these things. But I think what's cool is these kids are growing up in a Christian community, like Common Ground.
Yeah.
And they know that there are people there that do love them.
Yeah.
No matter what, and obviously, no matter what, no matter what, you know, these kids know that. And I've said that multiple times to some of these kids that have been going through some hard stuff, but think that's special. They know that. They know that they can be open, and they're also hearing the truth and who Jesus is, and they're still getting both of those things, and they're still coming, you know. Not only that, but they're inviting people into that. And a lot of these kids didn't grow up in a church. I had a great childhood growing up in my church with my family and everything like that. But I, you know, at least if they do get out into the world and they're hearing these things about Christians or whatever it is, they know, oh, you know what? I grew up in this true Christian community, and they accept, you know, they love me, and I felt this way, you know? So I think they'll have that like relationship and experience to back up whatever doubts and stuff they have about the religion and
how Christians operate, what we do, how even now, because Nora and many people would show up on Sunday services, bringing a load of people from the community. So when you see people showing up, it's a guy who's got his $60,000 truck getting off work with a load of pizzas, or he's bringing a table to skate, or it's a mom and her kids who've got the day off and they choose to come hang out with you. I mean, that's Christianity. I'm not saying that to brag on Christians. I'm saying that to brag on Christ through Christians, you know, when it's done right. And I was going to ask you, you know, if you change anything, but obviously you already answered and said you're so thankful. one of the big lies, I feel like, is we don't actually believe that when we do the things he's called us to do, because we look in the material, that we are going to be satisfied in those things. You know what I mean? Like, yes, it's, I mean, I remember the skate park being in there for 9 months. That could be really frustrating. But the amount of things that happened in the process of getting things ready for that and all the rest of it, that's fruit, that's relationships, that's lives change. So you're still meeting, things are going on, people might even want to partner. Go to thecommonground.org to hear more, to see more, because, yeah, because I just want, you know, I'm a big advocate for knowing of someone that myself raises full-time ministry. You know, if I'll do 3 or 4 of these a week, I couldn't sit and decide and write and connect with the people and make the whole thing and then edit it and produce it and put it out. If I didn't have partners, I couldn't be planning sermons 20 hours sometimes to prep a new sermon, traveling and doing all this stuff without support. So for you guys, you need that. And now, especially with getting a building, and what are the buildings even going for in that area? I mean, is it better now that there's been this kind of decline?
Oh, it's so ridiculous. It's like, this one's like around $700,000. So, I mean, and just to be clear, I mean, everything that we do for the youth and for this community is completely free for them.
Yeah.
Just so that everyone's welcome, no matter what. You know, they don't need to pay for anything. So it gives us a wide range of who we can preach to and who we can love on and give this, you know, fun experience to. So, you know, that we were able to take all of our kids that are in our middle school and high school Bible studies, which is around 30, which is pretty good sized number of kids. These are kids that are actually interested in going to these Bible studies. And what's really cool about Common Ground is I was made to go to my youth group as a kid. My mom dropped me off. I was there. I had to stay there. You know, it wasn't my decision.
Yeah.
These kids are going on their own free will. They're walking over. They just love it. You know, they like to hang out. They like to eat the food. You know, they do listen. Luckily, when we'll do a little message or we do small groups, but it's more real because these kids are there by their choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one's making them. And I think it's really funny growing up in a youth group where kids were just there because they had to. Just creates for a
different. It's the same with church. Are you going because the wife's dragging you, or it's the right thing to do, or you went, or are you going and do you want to hear that song? Do you want to press in? You know, blind Bartimaeus cried out because he wanted the Lord. Zacchaeus climbed down because he wanted to know more about Jesus when he was called. And that's the big difference. It's all free. These kids show up. And I've seen when you've had kids that might even want to really hang out, and they're the kids who are off doing the crazy stuff, but they'll come and they'll sit there and they'll listen. And I'll watch them for the next few months get involved. I'll watch them start helping, picking up shovels, picking up trash, doing it. So we release all that to him. We just do our part. So, yeah. So you're feeling good though about coming forward. What's next? Get the building. We'll get some benches and banks and skate stuff in there. Then we can get back to it. So, amen.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, we got to, who knows? I mean, it's just life is, I didn't know we were going to be back at the school. I didn't know we were going to have a warehouse. It's just, you know, putting that, not trying to put my own agenda on things, or, you know, just trying to accept whatever comes our way, whether it's the house or it's not the house, or, and knowing that something else that we need that we need will come when it is.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't understand, you know, coronavirus, George Floyd, is it aliens next? Is it mass fires? I mean, is the ocean going to dry up? We don't know, but God knows. And God knows. And he's just called us to worship him and to every day step into what he has. And that's all. So guys, listening, I applaud Jake and Matt and the whole crew, Nora, the team. I'm normally on a Zoom call with them most Thursdays with all of our mission staff. Eli Hakimian oversees all that. Obviously, we've been doing it bi-weekly now. You've been Zooming with a lot of the kids, doing mini Bible studies online. You're probably going crazy staring at Zoom. I try and do a couple a week. It's just, it's too intense. You know, I want to be in person. But why don't you just pray us then, just for anyone that maybe there's Jake years ago, or Matt, or some female somewhere, family that's feeling called, just to what you would have wanted to be encouraged in. Maybe pray us that, and then we'll get this thing going. Yeah.
Yeah. Lord, I thank you that you are a creative God, a God who's designed us all just in different ways that are used to just bring you glory, God. And I thank you that we're not all the same. And I thank you that there's people that like to skate and people that like to snowboard and so be it, God. And I know that you did give us these passions, Lord. You did put these spiritual gifts in us that are all different, whether it be, you know, serving or giving or whatever it be, Lord. And we just pray that you will just make us more aware of those things, God, and call us and make us aware of where we need to use those gifts and our passions, Lord. Make us aware of our surroundings. Open our eyes to what is around us and who is in need. And yes, Lord, we pray that as we go and we just have the confidence, your Holy Spirit will guide us. And, you know, we will have no fear. We'll have, you know, no uncertainty. You know, we won't be lazy. But we'll be people that are, no matter what, even if it does fail, that we will get back up and we'll try it again and again, God. We thank you for calling us into this, God, because life is just, I feel like, so boring if we're just living for ourselves. It just isn't as gratifying as when we open our eyes and see what is in need and how you can use us, God. And that is when I feel like life really truly begins and becomes fun and crazy and exciting, God. And we thank you for that. We thank you that we're not just called to live just a boring, lame life as we're here on this earth for such a short time, God. So thank you for that. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And guys, most of you tuning in by now, if you've stuck through and had and been inspired, are because you're believers and you feel called to do something. But for those of you who aren't, Jake and Brian, our faith is in the living God, God Almighty, who sent his son Jesus, who lived and died and rose again. And what he did was take all of our sins. We're all going to die one day. And he took all of our sins and put them on that cross. He shed that blood. And he's invited us into relationship with him, God Almighty, through his son Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that comes through repenting and acknowledging, man, we've lied and we've lusted and we've hated. And we don't really care about God. We care about ourselves. And this is the good news. This is the gospel. This is why having Jake on talking about common ground as they're meeting these kids, relating to these kids, explaining who Jesus is so they can know their heavenly Father. They can come into God's family. And when we die, the Bible says today's the day of salvation, so that when we die, it's appointed us all to die once. And then we stand before God guilty because of Jesus's work, the forgiveness through him alone. And by the power, as I said, of the Holy Spirit, we can have eternal life now. So for us, we're here and I've got Tracy and the kids and Jake's got his life before him, but common ground exists for the glory of God, this podcast. So I hope you know the Lord. Some of you have messaged me even and said, hey, when you pray, you prayed for me a year ago, would you pray now? Guys, don't wait for me to pray for you. Open up the Bible today, find resources online, listen to some of these podcasts, get to know the living God. And I've had an amazing time. Jake, thanks for connecting with us today. TheCommonGround.org, because guys, 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. It's God who does the saving. It's God who does the moving. It's God who's overseeing common ground. So guys, be praying for that building, for where Jake would step next. Jake's so open. We're, Lord, if you shut this whole thing down, send us to South Africa or even Liverpool, England, wherever, we're going to go in your name. But for those listening, be fired up. Put your hand to the plow. Grab a hold of what he has. So any last words, Jake?
No, thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Get that vacuum going.
I don't know how to follow up on that one. That was
Well, it's early. We're taking a grandma to the dentist today. I'm trying to take Jude skating later. And our cat is behind me, who was attacked by a coyote the other day. We're in the middle of coronavirus and this whole, I don't even know what's going on. But guys, God is good. Be encouraged. Without faith, it's impossible to see the Lord, to experience the Lord. So thanks, buddy, for hanging out. Love you and the team and everyone. Talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thanks, Brian.
God bless everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been brought to you by the One Story Podcast.